All right, joining me in studio is the DPS director, Colonel Heston Silbert. Colonel Silbert, thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Let's start off by talking about violence against police officers. There, statistically, there has been a rise across the nation in assaults and attacks on police officers. How does it affect your agency, and what are you doing with some of your troopers that are especially ones working in these desolate areas without backup?
We've taken on the mentality that we anticipated this coming, that there was what I would say a cultural acceptance of some lawless behavior going on right now throughout the country. You can communicate as much as you can with people and learn to be effective communicators, but I think you also have to train your people to be able to handle themselves in both physical and lethal confrontations, and we prepare our troopers for both. We've taken on a philosophy of increasing the troopers' effectiveness and abilities in both stand-up and ground fighting. We've brought in the Gracie survival tactics and combative system. I think we sent about 50, 60 of our troopers through instructor school. So we're taking that out to our rural areas as well as our metropolitan areas. Sure, we'd absolutely love to be able to verbally communicate with people. It's one of the things I'm proudest of our troopers about, is that I get compliments about them all the time because they're very professional. But I want our troopers to have the confidence to know when things go a different direction, that they have that ability to respond to it just as effectively.
Now, you've been in law enforcement for a very long time. Is it truly worse than you've ever seen it? I'm hearing this from cops all the time. They've never seen it like this. Is that true?
I don't think I could say that. I think you really have to be a student of history. I think it goes back to, you know, you could go back to the times of Prohibition and the times of the Great Depression, and when you had criminals like Bonnie and Clyde, John Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd, Machine Gun Kelly, Al Capone, the beginnings of the mafia, things like that. Those were really lawless times in our country. When you start to talk about more modern history and you talk about crimes related to people's response to issues with civil rights or treatment of people or things like that with regard to law enforcement, late 60s, early 70s, we saw a significant increase in violence against law enforcement officers in different cities, whether it be Los Angeles, Baltimore, wherever you went. But there was a great deal going on, and I think you really have to study the entirety of history, not just those little things you want to pull from it. So, no, I can't say this is the worst. I can tell you that it's bad. But I think I couldn't give you a comparative analytic to say it's the worst compared to those times in the last 100 years.
I know that you had a meeting with the governor and sheriffs about the Border Strike Force and about this expansion to other states cooperating with us. Can you give us an update on what this means for your agency and what the citizens of Arizona should expect?
Yeah. Yesterday, the governor called myself in and sheriffs Daniels, Lamb, Wilmot, Sheriff Rhodes from Yavapai County, and we had a meeting about just different border issues, how they affect the state all the way up to Yavapai County in the southeast part of the state, such as Sheriff Daniels' area and Cochise or Sheriff Wilmot's area, southwest Yuma County, and then, of course, Sheriff Lamb in Pinal County. But it affects everybody. It affects the entire United States. The governor, although, you know, we're coming to the end of term, his foot does not come off the pedal. He's on it. He's on us. He wants to know everything that's going on. His knowledge of it is very granular. So what he did is he led a group of governors to a commitment about working together, both for intelligence, communication, running operations in a concurrent fashion to thwart the efforts of the cartels to continue poisoning our country. And I would tell you, Sheriff Lamb said this yesterday. He said, you know, I no longer refer to fentanyl issues as an overdose. He says, I refer to them as poisonings because that's what it is. And he made a real good point in that in the meeting yesterday. So the governor was was open to our thoughts and ideas. He had his thoughts and ideas, and they were brought together. So there's going to be some concerted efforts for that. I know Title 42, as you and I talked about, is coming down. That's a genuine concern both for the state and the country. And that, you know, it's supposed to come down May 23rd. I'm not sure where the court ruling will fall by then. But that definitely creates a challenge for us. I think people see the initial phase of the surge of people coming in. What they don't see is that the drug trafficking organizations, or I shouldn't even call them drug trafficking organizations, they're just criminal cartels. They take advantage of those times, and then they start to attack different areas of the state because people are occupied with these mass influxes of people trying to come into the country. So that creates a challenge.
The overall public safety, Department of Public Safety, we've had immense growth in population. We've had immense growth in our freeways. We now know that the drug trafficking is now even bigger than it has been before. How about staffing with your agency? How critical is that getting to be able to keep up with all of these increases?
Oh, it's extremely difficult. Every agency is facing the same thing. I think some agencies, say a mid-size agency or smaller agency that is in the right area, they can keep up with it a little better. But for the huge agencies where you're going to have large groups of retirement or people who finish the drop cycle or something like that, it's difficult to keep up with. You know, you just look around society as a whole, it's hard to hire people. And any business right now is having trouble hiring people, pharmaceutical companies, whatever the case may be. So now you're trying to hire into an industry, if you will, a profession, that not only do you have to pass a stringent background, you have to pass physical fitness test, you have to pass a psychological test, and you have to take a polygraph test. And, you know, those things in and of themselves make people shudder. So it's difficult, and I applaud the young men and women, and not just young, but the men and women who want to come into this profession. That's the one thing I say to them when I go speak to our recruits, is I thank them because they've lived a life that has allowed them to get to where they are and get through our process. But I say that to all our employees, quite frankly, at DPS, because our professional staff goes through essentially the same background process. So, you know, when people see somebody from a law enforcement agency, you see that law enforcement officer, understand there's a whole bunch of people behind that law enforcement officer who provide the platform that allows them to do the job. I call it the click of the handcuffs. That click of the handcuffs, a lot has to happen. There's jailers involved. There's people at criminal history records that are involved. There's dispatchers involved. There's 911 operators involved. You know, there's a lot that goes into that that people don't really think about. And all those people go through that process to get hired. So it's definitely a challenge.
I appreciate the time, as always. It always seems like time runs out so fast. I have more questions. I hope you'll come back. But thank you, and I hope you'll thank the people in your agency for the work they do, because they are great ambassadors for the state, and they do a great job of keeping us safe.
Thank you, Mike. You're a great supporter, and it's genuinely appreciated by our agency, and I know through law enforcement throughout the state. So thank you.